2 Timothy. My goodness, there's a word right there. 2 Timothy. We're going to look at, and I'm going to pronounce all these funny words, right? 2 Timothy. If you stand for the reading of God's word. My goodness. How many know God is great? How many know he'll give you the desires of your heart? If you just believe. Amen. If you just trust him. Amen. He'll do it for you. Amen. Amen. It's just wonderful to be in the presence of God who brings God's people. Amen. Amen. So we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to look at verse 9. I told you before that Paul is making every effort. He's about to die. He's about to be beheaded. He's in a dungeon. He's in a prison. And while in that prison, he's writing to his protege. He's writing to Timothy. And he's trying to get Timothy to the point where Timothy will start taking over the ministry. But he wanted to give Timothy some advice. Amen. As to what it takes to go forward. Amen. Listen, you may think that you have the answers, but the answers are found in the word of God. Amen. So he says, look what he says. He says, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas have loved this what? Present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescas has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful, amen, to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left in Tours with Carpus and the book, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me what? Much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously, what, opposed our teaching. At my first defense, amen, no one supported me. I'll stop right there, verse 15, amen. I want to talk about this morning the fear of loneliness, the fear of loneliness. We're going to do it one more time, the fear of loneliness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Lord, we are so grateful for the opportunities that you have given unto us. Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for allowing us to come into your presence on today. Bless this church. Fill this church with your presence, Father God. Anoint each and every person, Lord. And Lord, let us hear from heaven today, Father God. Lord, we need a word from you, Father God. I pray today that you stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, cancel the schemes and the plans of the enemy. Somebody needs deliverance today. Somebody needs freedom today, Father God. So would you allow us, Father God, to experience change in our lives today? We love you so much, and we appreciate all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. 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 Thank you, ushers. Amen. Amen. Nobody wants to be alone. Amen. Nobody wants to be alone. But oftentimes, in the quest to fill that void of loneliness, we can sometimes make wrong decisions in the people that we allow to access our lives. Loneliness, believe it or not, amen, the fear, overcoming the fear of loneliness, amen. Some people have a hard time being by themselves. Some people cannot even fathom the thought of being by themselves, amen, for a long period of time. I don't know about you, but loneliness, amen, can be something that sets in your life, that comes into your life, the fear of loneliness, that is, amen, can come into your life where you become what I call codependent, amen. You are codependent on somebody. But I want to say to you this morning, amen, the Bible says that God is a very present help. Amen. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. God is everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Amen. He's everywhere at the same time. But oftentimes, amen, just even the presence of God, amen, it's not comforting enough, amen, that we need something more. Amen. We were created, amen, to have fellowship. Amen. Some people want to be by themselves. Some people say, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered with you. I don't want to be bothered with nothing. I don't want to be by myself. Leave me. Come on, somebody. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. Just leave me alone and I'm going to be all right. But oftentimes what you find yourself is by when you're by yourself. Amen. Amen. It creates some other things. Depression. Amen. The ability, amen, to stay stuck. You're stuck where you are, amen, and you don't feel like you can move forward because you and I feel like maybe we're lacking something in our lives. But I want to say this to you this morning. People always worry about what others think. Amen. We pour out from the pitchers, amen, of self-doubt, and we ask questions like, if I'm alone, amen, would people think that something is wrong with me? Amen. If I'm alone, amen, if I take time out from my family to work on me, would they think that I'm being selfish or uncaring? Amen. Thinking about the message that you give yourself while you're alone is a worthwhile project. Amen. While you're by yourself, while you're driving down the freeway, whatever you are. But some of us are so afraid. We're so afraid to be by ourselves. Amen. That we compromise our purity. Come on, somebody. We compromise our spirituality. Amen. And we compromise our relationship with God. And so Paul is at the point in his life where he is writing to Timothy, but he's also saying to Timothy, Timothy, you can take the reins, but I need you. Yeah. You follow what I'm saying? I need you. And what I want to put a pin right there to say this, that you have to be careful who you invest your life with. Okay. I'm saying it one more time. Listen, a one night stand is not going to get it. Right. Amen. If you doubt that person, or if you're going through that motion right now, amen. Don't, and I always say this, don't give your heart away. Because when the moment that you give your heart away, what do you lose? You lose piece of you. And it becomes, watch this, it becomes now a struggle. And oftentimes what I've found out is that there are a lot of people compromising themselves, amen, all for the sake of, watch this, because they don't want to be alone. So there are some people that I told you about. Amen. My aim today is to help you. This is part one of part two. Amen. It's to help you to overcome the fear of loneliness. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can stand on your own. Come on, come on, come on. Turn to the neighbor behind you and say, neighbor, you can stand on your own. Amen. You can make it. Come on. You don't need a man to make it. You definitely... Mic is on. Amen. You're like, I don't know. I'm scared. You know what I mean? Listen. You wasn't born like that. Come on, somebody. You can be single and satisfied. And then if you're single, you are, listen, and you're getting married, you know what you got. You got to stay pure. Come on, somebody. Because here's the thing. If you cannot be by yourself, then why would you compromise your life? And some of us have made decisions to yoke up with people. Come on, that mean you're no good. So I want to talk about those people today. I want to talk about those people. Paul says, amen. He says right here, and one of the things I want to say is this. The fear of loneliness will cause us to understand that there are different types of people that we will deal with in this journey. Some of us have chosen to be alone. Come on, somebody. Because we can't get over the hurt that people have caused us in our lives. Listen, if you keep going from relationship, listen to me real good. If you keep going from relationship to relationship, trying to test the waters, trying to find that right person, because you don't want to be alone, all because you're scared to look at the person in the mirror, then what you're going to do is you're going to compromise your heart. You see, you follow where I'm going? And so it's important that you're very cautious who you open up your life to. You would think that Paul, of all people, would be supported. You know what I found out? When you're living for God, few people will want to stand with you. When you make a stand for God, you will face all kinds of opposition from people who don't understand that you're being fed. Come on, somebody. They're not going to understand that you need this more than you need them. I'm going somewhere with this. And oftentimes that's the case. And what happens if a person has your heart, they will put the guilt trip on you. They'll put the guilt trip on you. They'll start talking to you about all kinds. Listen, anybody that opposes what you believe, you got to watch out for them. Are you with me? You see, the first step to freedom. Let me tell you what the first step to freedom is. You ready? You got to get over the disappointment. Write that down somewhere. Listen, there's some people that I put my trust in, they disappointed me. There's some people that I really love, but they keep disappointing me. Children will disappoint you. Come on, somebody. Your spouse will disappoint you. Amen. Listen. Your coworker will disappoint you. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your boo daddy or whatever you want to call him, he's going to disappoint you. You follow what I'm saying? You know why? Because people are frail and fragile and broken. But God says, if you're going to, listen, why can't you just be good with me and you? Listen, can I ask you something? How can you build a relationship with a person when you don't have a relationship with God? You want a perfect marriage, but you have no relationship with God. You want to be a perfect employee, but you don't have a relationship with God. You want a perfect boss, but you don't have a relationship with God. See, the relationship with God is harder because you don't see him. So here's the thing. The first thing you have to do to overcome the fear of loneliness is to understand that you have to overcome disappointment. How many of you have been disappointed before? You gave your heart to this person. Come on, somebody, come on. You open up your soul to them. You expose some weaknesses about yourself. You know how long it took to do that? My goodness. But then all of a sudden they crushed you. Lord have mercy. I guess I'm preaching today. And then they turn around and use it. Right? Yeah, they just turn around and just start using everything you said to them. They start saying it back to you. That's deep stuff. But may I say this to you? It doesn't give you the right to go jump to somebody else now. To run to somebody else just because they're listening. Just because a person is listening doesn't mean they got your best interest. Come on, somebody. Because the enemy is deep. He'll cause put people in your life to listen, but they're not giving you any solutions. And the solutions that they are, watch this, suggesting, it goes against everything, come on somebody, that's in the word of God. So watch this, watch the text. Text is beautiful. Look what he says. He says now, Paul had no one else. And so let me give you the second thing you need to do in order to be free. You ready? You have to learn. Ready for this? First thing you got to do is get over the disappointment. But the second thing you got to do is you got to learn to discern the type of people that you may let back into your life. Say one more time. You have to learn how to discern. Now, this doesn't mean you got to be mean to everybody now. Doesn't mean you got to put up these big brick walls with 20-inch thick cement walls you got up in your life. Just built up. They ain't sheetrock. This is bricks. And some of us have put up some bricks in our lives, and that's why we're lonely. That's why we're angry. That's why we're so disappointed. That's why we're so miserable in life. And just because you're lonely doesn't mean everybody else got to be miserable. You follow what I'm saying? Lonely people will cause some pain, you know, because they're hurt. Watch this. Watch this. Remember this. Remember this. The Bible says, don't be wise in your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart. Lean not to your what? Own understanding. When your understanding trumps God's word, something is wrong. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. He says in verse 2, I'm sorry, in verse 9. He says, I make every effort to come to me soon. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas was a disciple. Now check this out. People that's with you, right? Watch this. They will be with you at the beginning. Right? But it's when things get tough. Watch this. I'm going to give you something that's going to bless you. When they think that you're on your last leg and there's nothing else they can draw out of you, watch this. They will show who they really are. Watch this. Demas was a disciple, a faithful disciple. But when he got wind of that Paul was about to die, what did he say here? The text says, for Demas, having what? Love this present world. Now watch this. Watch this. First point. Second point. Third point. Whatever point. So here's what you got to discern about these people. Ready? Some people will love the world more than they love you. Oh, don't miss that. Some people only like you because they love the world, because they can get what they can from you. I don't think you catch that. The Bible says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Demas, what's up? Demas, watch this. The world will pull you and some of the people that you may love and give your hearts to. Watch this. They may not even be in love with you. You thought it was love because they moved in or they let you move in. You really thought that was love? Listen, they love the world more than you. You can tell what a person loves by their actions, by their conversation. If you love football, you're going to talk about football all day. If you love the world, you're going to love the things of the world. And the only thing you're going to talk about, the only thing the conversations are going to be about are worldly things. Come on, y'all. Satan sees this, but we don't see it, right? All they do, they don't never talk about God. But you got to remember, some people love the world more than they love you. So what you got to discern is, what do they really love? You see, because what you don't want to do is put your heart into the hands of a person like that. All right. Oh, I don't want you. Listen, you don't want to share your life with someone like that. Oh, well, we need to get a bigger house. Well, we got a house. We need to get a bigger. Oh, we got a car. What I'm saying is, everything has to do with material. You getting it? Material things don't make us. But here's what Demas did. Listen. And not only that, watch this. Be careful of people who will leave you when you're at your lowest in life. Paul was at his lowest for the cause of Christ. Here he is at the lowest point in his life. And what does he do? He leaves him for the world. I could see if he left him for a woman, but he left him for the world. People will leave you just because they get a new job. You got a little bit more money. Oh, shoot. Look what he says. He has what? He has loved. Demas have loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to what? Thessalonica, right? Christ's case has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. So Paul had all of these people in his circle, but watch this. The next thing I want to give you, not only will some people love the world more than they love you, but some people will just leave you for the world. They'll just leave you for worldly things. I've seen that in church. I've seen that with my own eyes. And listen, you wonder why so many people are lonely. Because here's the thing, it's hard to find someone who's not just into themselves. Come on, somebody, I'm talking. It's hard to find people who, listen, you have to be transformed in order to love Jesus. But can I ask you something? How much of the world do you love? I said something yesterday. You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. He says, do not love the world, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. For those who love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. So check this out. Can I just talk to you today? Watch this. If I love the world, right, God's love is not in me. So then I cannot love the things of God. I can't even love God, because if the love of the Father is not in me, then it's impossible for me to love anything of God or even love you, because you're in God. So how can I love you? You might as well be by yourself. If the love of God is not in me, then all I'm into in for this is for me. He says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now watch this. Without faith, it's impossible to what? So if I have no faith, I cannot please God. But if I don't even have the love of God, how can I have faith? And I come to church every week and nothing is working in my life. Hello, somebody. Listen, you may have what I call a false relationship with Jesus. Because watch this, because he says, I cannot love the world and have the love of the Father in me. If the love of the Father is not in me, I can't make any movement in my life. And somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something. The people that you have trusted, they left you for the world, didn't they? And you keep going right back to them. Why is that? Wish I had somebody. Listen to this. He says, Demas deserted him. Christ's case went to Galatia, Titus to Dabilia, and here I am by myself. But watch this. Watch verse 11. He says, only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. See, some are sent and some leave. Oh, I'm going somewhere. There's one thing when you have to release a person to go do better in their life, like a child. Right? Release them to go do the right thing. But if you keep falling in love with the wrong person and the wrong thing, which is the world, then how can you make any forward moves? And you wonder why you find yourself by yourself, because all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. You see it, you want it, you get it, you boast about it, and that's it. And after you boast about it, you have nothing else with it. Are you with me? So the next thing he says, Luke, he stayed with me. Let me say, Luke was Paul's traveling companion for most of his ministry. Mark deserted Paul, but in the end, he became useful to him again. Tochicos, watch this, Tochicos, his name means fortunate. His name meant devoted. So it wasn't, so what I want to say next is that some people will be loyal to you. You got to remember that. Listen, don't mistreat the loyal people in your life. Listen, the loyal person not going to look like how the unloyal person looks. Come on, somebody. And remember what I said last couple weeks back. Make sure that first that they're loyal to God. Because if they're not loyal to God, they can't be loyal to you. Are you with me? Paul says Tochicos was, his name meant fortunate. His name meant devoted and faithful. And see, if you're going to be lonely, right? Just be lonely. Just don't be lonely with people. Listen, you're worth more. I'm just trying to say something. Listen, your worth, amen, is important. And if you and I don't understand our worth, then we will fall for everything. And we will sell ourselves short every time. But watch the text. Watch the text says. He says, verse 13, we're almost done. When you come, bring the cloak which I left in Taurus with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchment. Now, here's the next thing, 14. Alexander, the coppersmith, what did he do? He did me what? So the next thing you got to remember about people and discerning people, some people will look for ways to hurt you. Come on, some people are deliberately looking for opportunities to hurt you. Listen, you'd rather be by yourself. Listen, you have to get over the fear of loneliness, or you will put your life into the hands of a person like that. And may I say this to you this morning? People hurt is deep hurt. And you got to get over the hurt before you go putting yourself in another situation. Some of us are still hurt from the past. Some of us, listen. Alexander, he says, the coppersmith did me what? Much harm. Listen, don't allow the hurt to cause you to want to be alone and never trust again. Somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something. You have to get over it, because if you don't get over it, amen, listen, you're going to, watch this, you're going to hurt other people. So what I want to say is, you ready for this? Write this down. Let go of the hurt. Let go today. And here's how you know if you've let go, if you've released the hurt, right? You know that you've released the hurt. Amen. If you can be around that person again. Amen. If you have no ill will towards that person. Let it go. You know why you want to let it go? Because it's holding you and I back. It's holding us back. Sometimes you can be in a marriage and be lonely. You know why? Because you've been hurt. And you've been scarred by the other person, and you haven't dealt with the hurt, and the hurt has kept you in a place where you don't want to bother with nobody. You're always angry. You're always bitter. You're always walking around with an attitude. But I want to say today, I declare today that you can be set free. Some people use manipulation to hurt you. Amen. Their words hurt. They know your secrets. and they use it against you. Listen, Alexander Coppersmith, he says he meant me much harm. And somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something. Until you get over the hurt, people don't want to be around you. They don't want to be around you like that. Amen. Y'all got quiet. Like, dang, come on, Pastor. Amen. I'm counseling this morning here. Well, I said, this is real stuff. You say, well, I can do bad by myself. If you're going to do bad by yourself, at least work on yourself while you're doing bad by yourself. I'm just saying. Here's another question. Why do you need someone? And listen, if you need someone that bad, why would you compromise what you believe? Amen. Do you know you can make a person an idol? Oh, come on, somebody. And when you make that person an idol, now you got other troubles. But look what he says next. He says, Alexander the coppersmith, and I'm almost done, did me what? The Lord. Now, I got something for you. Here's my next point. This is the other person you got to watch out for. Okay, you ready for this? Here's my next point. Some people, you have to let the Lord deal with them. You've been talking. You've been cussing, fighting, tripping. Just let the Lord. Listen, who is better equipped to deal with them? You are the Lord. And listen, when you give a person to God, listen, don't wish no harm on them. But God, save them, change them, transform them. Listen, give them to God because God can deal with them. And I want to say to somebody here today, you can't keep wishing ill on people. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve is gracious. And I know the hurt has been deep. And I know you've been scarred. And I know you've been broken in that area of your life. That person, when you think about them, you want to do some stuff to them. Amen. I ain't going to say what you want to do. But then you make a choice. When y'all started out, you wasn't talking about that. You weren't talking about hurting them then, did you? Amen. That's my boo thing. Amen. That's my thing. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden now, Lord, just kill them. Really? Now, let's just get into the shoes of Paul. Here he is in a dungeon, right? And he's saying, watch what he's saying. He's saying, man, all these people that did me wrong. I've lived a good life. I've lived to glorify God. I want to give you something here. Because this is the other side to the coin that Satan is trying to do to you. Well, I'm living right now. I'm doing all the right things. I'm serving God. I'm living for God. You know, things are going well in my life. You know what I mean? I'm honoring him. I'm staying pure. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And here's the thing. And people keep hurting you. And people keep disappointing you. Listen, God's not responsible for that. But what you're responsible for is how you react to that. Come on, somebody. People are unpredictable. People are so unpredictable, they'll tell you they love you today and turn their backs on you tomorrow. But what you got to do with those difficult people in your life, you have to turn them over to the Lord. And God will begin to change. Now, when God changes them now, don't get mad. They end up being a preacher. they end up becoming a Sunday school teacher and then deacon and all this stuff. You're like, man, I didn't mean for that to happen. You know, and deep down inside, If you've forgiven them, you'd want to see the best for them. But maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're not there just yet. Pastor, I'm not there yet. So, amen. Let's just work on praying for them. Amen. Let me just work on praying. Lord, help them. That's it. That's all you say. You ain't going no details and that. Lord, bless them and all that kind of stuff. You know, when you, listen, here's how you know you've forgiven a person. When you can say, Lord, bless them. You follow what I'm saying? And mean it. You follow what I'm saying? You know, so he says, listen, he said, you know what I'm going to do? He did me harm, but the Lord will repay them. Listen, God knows how to pay. And God knows how to deal with the people in your lives who have brought you pain. Amen. You are a child of God. He loves you. Listen, stop believing the lies of the devil. God loves you, but you are responsible for how you respond. But look what he says next, verse 15. He says, be on guard against yourself, for he vigorously. I said this before, right? Oppose what? So the next point I want to give you, last point. Some people, amen, will not like sound biblical teaching. Some people want you to compromise the word. Man, we just do it one time. It ain't going to hurt nothing. Oh, I ain't hurting nobody. I ain't doing nothing to nobody. Listen, the Bible says, listen, he opposed the teaching. Those people that you need to, these are the people that you need to watch out for. If they oppose sound teaching, it means that they're not teachable. Or trying to learn. If they're telling you, you ain't got to go to church. If they're telling you, no, we living wrong, but this is right. Hello. Ain't nobody getting blessed. And everything is broke. We broke. Let's be broke together. Seriously, if you fall for that, I got a bridge to sell you. Listen. Listen to this. People that oppose sound biblical teaching, they will, first of all, they'll argue with you about the word. Secondly, they will cause you to disobey the word. Thirdly, amen, they will have you to deny the word. Fourthly, amen, they want you to put down the word because the word convicts. Now listen, I can get up here and preach a lot of things, but you notice where I've been all day? In the Bible. Listen, if it doesn't come from the Bible, I'm going to say it one more time. If it doesn't come from the Bible, it ain't real. And stop allowing people to convince you that what they're trying to tell you from that false teaching, that is real. Somebody here today, I want to tell you something. If they oppose you serving, praising, studying, and living for God, you watch yourself. The first thing, you ain't got to go to church. Now, I know we have a lot of single people in our church, single people dating and stuff like that. But the one thing I like is the fact that I see both of them in church. Now, I don't know what they do when they leave, okay? Something different. But the fact that they're in church tells me that they're getting closer to God. And the closer you get to God, right, the more you'll obey. See, let me say this. You can hear the word, but here's where the difficult part comes in. When you leave here, you got to live the word. So if you're single and you're dating, stay pure. Listen, that can wait. Amen. And it goes on both ends now, right? Because I used to think it was the man. Amen. But what I found out lately, amen, through my studies and things like that, it ain't the man all the time. John, amen. I'm serious. It's not always the man. All right? So what I'm going to say to you, amen. What you laughing at, boy? He laughing. All I see is teeth. Listen, if you want to honor God, you have to get together with that person and say, listen, we're going to honor God together. And if we honor God together, everything's going to go well for us. But if we're not going to honor God together, well, maybe we need to do this. Because the end result, and see, the thing about young people, y'all don't like to listen at all. At all. At all. And old people too. Amen. But mostly young folk, yeah, well, no, they got some hard-headed older people, you know. They just hard-headed. This is neck just stiff. Just won't turn, won't change. I've been this way all my life. You better ask somebody about Jesus. He can change you. You don't have to be the same. You can change. But listen, you can change with sound teaching. With sound biblical teaching and the application of it. But listen, here's the thing. You know, at the end of the day, when you get older, right, you're going to be like, man. You know, one of the things I don't regret at 25 years old, turning my life over to Jesus. I don't regret that. Listen, it's not about the blessings I've received from God. It's about the fact that I'm a changed man for real. I used to lie. I had game, y'all. All right? Amen. I had talk game. I had ball game. I had all kinds of games. Amen. Amen. I ain't going to talk about that. Amen. I had game. You know what I mean? But God changed me. And see, I can look myself in the mirror and say, when I stand to preach to you, I'm for real. Because I don't have to play no games. You follow what I'm saying? I can honestly say that I am what you see I am. Now, I may have some flaws. Okay, I do have some stuff I'm still working on. You know, we ain't going to talk about that. but I'd say I'm about 75% change. Now, the question is, amen, how changed are you? And not only that, but who are you going to let in your life? These are the things I just gave you. I hope you wrote them down because these are the people that's coming. Okay? And you don't want to always have to go through this thing where you got to keep giving them to the Lord. Give them to the Lord. Okay? No, you have to get to the point where you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to wait until God tells me that this is what I need to do. And some of our relationships today is broken. We have broken marriages. We have broken relationship with family. We're lonely. And we keep running from person to person to try to fill a void. Listen, deception is like those solicitors that call you and tell you, hey, you just got a credit card with a $25,000 limit on it. What they don't tell you, you know, they make you feel special. They make you feel like you're in this elite class. You can take out $2,500 a day. Amen. You are. We're going to send you a bag and a pen. And you fall for that. Amen. But what they don't tell you is it's at 18% interest. What they don't tell you that after you buy something, you got to double pay for it. They don't tell you that kind of stuff. You think you're special, but it's deception. You see, there are people today who are owned by Satan. Amen. He may have told them, you just got to take a pill. You just got to take a smoke. All you got to do is take one sniff. And listen, we're going to try this one thing. Amen. But what he doesn't tell them that when they step on that ground, he owns them. The credit card company owns some of us. Just like Satan owns some of us. And we don't even know it. You have to take a stand in your life. Qualify the people you let in and you will overcome loneliness. Next week I'll give you the other part. But if you really want to be set free today, If you really want to be set free, you got to make a decision. How many of you are willing to make a decision today?